Now, we're very pleased to have an expert in the Department of Veterans Affairs and calling from Washington, D.C. That is Roscoe Butler. Roscoe, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Ken?
Real good, real good. Wanted to talk with you. You have a career. You're a veteran of the United States Army and then worked at the Department of Veterans Affairs in increasing leadership positions for 35 years, and you've actually testified before Congress on matters related to the VA as now an employee and a staff member of the American Legion. And maybe if you would, just to start, what are some of the key things that the American Legion has been working on to try to improve the care that the Department of Veterans Affairs is offering to our nation's veterans?
Well, Ken, first and foremost is our system worth saving, where we have a group of individuals that go out to VA healthcare facilities to conduct site visits, and looking at the quality of care, access, and those type of issues to bring those issues to the forefront, work with veterans and the VA system to ensure that if it's issues relating to funding, resources, or whatever the concerns may be, we advocate on behalf of the veterans at the local level as well as the national level to ensure Congress provides VA with the level of funding and resources necessary to care for our nation veterans.
Well, one of the questions that came up, we've been discussing on this show over the years, if the VA would benefit from some level of privatization. My dad was a U.S. Army officer and veteran for serving 22 years, so he was eligible for what's called TRICARE, where veterans had the option, but that is for those who retired after a certain number of years, generally 20 years. What has the American Legion's feeling been about privatization as part of how the VA can provide service?
The VA has always relied on community care to supplement the care or services when they're not able to provide the care. And the onset of the wait time issue that occurred out in Phoenix and permeated throughout the VA system brought to the forefront how large of a wait time issues VA has. And so the American Legion believes that there needs to be some community care, but the American Legion is completely adamant against saying that VA should be privatized and veterans should be vouchered out in the community. There is no healthcare system that can meet the needs of our veterans like the VA. And again, back to system worth saving, that's where we believe that the VA is a system worth saving, and the American Legion will do everything that it can to ensure that the VA remains a vital healthcare system providing health care to veterans, and that when VA cannot meet all of the needs of veterans through its health care system, surely the community care program is there to assist and help.
Absolutely. Now, we've had a number of veterans on the show. Navy veteran Gannon McHale in particular told me about what terrific cancer treatment service he received at the Brooklyn VA, and we've had others local to us who have had said of the fine service given to them by the Bronx VA, where there's a large facility. And one of the programs that we've heard about, I really don't know a lot about it, is called Veterans Choice, where for veterans who are VA eligible, they do have the option in certain situations to seek care from private medical providers. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about the Veterans Choice program.
Well, Congress enacted the Veterans Choice Program because veterans were either waiting 30 days or greater to access the VA care or live more than 40 miles from the nearest VA facility that could provide the care. The legislation was initially implemented in 2014, late in that year, and there's been a number of changes since it's been implemented. But the bottom line, if a veteran has been waiting for care greater than 30 days on VA's electronic wait list, or they live 40 miles from the nearest VA facility that has a full-time primary care provider, the veteran can elect to be seen out in their community at VA expense. The provider has to be an approved choice provider. So they either call in to one of the TPAs, the third party administrators, and ask to be enrolled in the choice program. Once the provider is approved and enrolled in the choice program, then the veteran can have his care coordinated by the VA through that choice provider.
Well, that certainly is a very important option for veterans who do not live where there is a VA facility not close by, especially those who live in rural parts of the country. Now, some of the topics we've discussed, we're talking with Roscoe Butler, who's the Deputy Director for Healthcare at the American Legion in their Washington, D.C. office, a U.S. Army veteran and 35-year staff member at the Department of Veterans Affairs. A couple of the topics we've talked about, one of which has been the ongoing effort to try and improve the communication between the Department of Defense to the Department of Veterans Affairs when someone leaves the active military. And there's been a backlog, and there's been a need to try to shift to more of an electronic method. Have you seen improvements in that area, expediting shifting of medical records to the VA so that they can take care of some of our new veterans?
Well, one of the big initiatives is the virtual electronic record. And what we've seen is that our national commander was in town, and we went over to DOD, and we met with DOD folks and VA folks, and they had an opportunity to demo that record. And what they did was, he said, now you can pull up any service member information, correct? And they said, yes, within some reasons. And he said, okay, here's my military ID card. I want you to pull up my record. And they, Commander, our National Commander Dale Burnett gave them his ID card. They were able to pull up his information, and to a certain extent, they had all of the information that his medical information available. And so that information could be shared between DOD and both VA. So, you know, that's the extent of where they're going with that. We think they need to go a little further, because as we talk about community care, and as you're sharing health care information between the community and VA, then there has to be a way to make sure that there's an electronic change of information, not only between VA and the DOD, but also between VA and the private community hospitals as well.
Absolutely. Now, I just have a couple of minutes left. I want to talk about how you see the Department of Veterans Affairs handling the real plague of PTSD afflicting so many of our recent veterans, in some cases leading to suicide. And how do you and there's been, again, that one of the concern areas is having these veterans who are at risk treated as quickly as possible. How do you feel the VA is doing treating PTSD for our recent veterans right now?
We think we believe that they're doing just as good and a whole lot better than the community providers are, but VA should be held to a higher standard, and they can do a whole lot better. We believe that there needs to be significant improvement in not just providing veterans medications, but alternative treatments. And that's where we see significant improvements need to be made so that veterans can be weaned off of all of this, those different types of medications, and be provided different alternatives to their course of care and treatment.
Absolutely. And one other area, and we mentioned it kind of earlier with one of our friends who had a cancer situation, and he being a veteran of the 1960s, is that the VA is now treating many older veterans, Vietnam-era veterans, for different cancers that are maybe related to their service in Vietnam and Agent Orange. How do you feel the VA is doing? I know that really opened up the door to a lot of veterans to seek treatment.
Yes. When Congress gave VA the authority to treat certain types of conditions as it relates to Agent Orange and so forth, we saw a spike, a huge spike in the number of applications for claims, and a lot of those transcended over into the healthcare arena. So, again, VA is meeting the challenge to a certain level. They need to do a better job, but VA is the only system that can provide the specialized care services to those unique conditions, because a lot of the conditions that service members encounter as from their military service are unrelated to those conditions private citizens routinely occur just from day-to-day lifestyle. So VA is the one system that can meet those specific health care needs and challenges. They need to do a better job at it. But right now, they're the only system available that can do what they do.
Well, Roscoe Butler from the American Legion staff in Washington, D.C., thank you so much for taking time to call us here at WVOX on the American Legion Radio. And thank you so much for your virtually four decades of service to our country in the United States Army as a staff member of the Department of Veterans Affairs and now as a senior staff member at the American Legion. Thank you for all that you do.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
And goodbye.
Thank you. We'll look forward to another chance to talk with Roscoe Butler, but we appreciate all the staff. Adrienne Dickerson from the American Legion, Washington, D.C. office helping us set up that talk.